Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is time for your Impact Wrestling review. It's June the 9th. We're 10 nights away from Slammiversary. Feeling good, looking good, a fun show indeed. I am at Joel Pearl, and I've got, as always, the amazing, the fun, the lovely Cresta Starr. How are you, Cresta?
Faking it till I make it, Joel. I'm full of life, and if I don't have it, I'm pretending in this moment. How are you?
Buddy, truer words were never spoken. I'm feeling good. I enjoyed this episode of Impact Wrestling. We were talking off air that one of the strengths that Impact has is their diversity and the amount of stuff that they throw against the wall. And some stuff will hit for some people and some stuff will hit for other people and some stuff will just not. And it's okay because there's still 100 other things going on. That still makes sense, but it's different considering the stories that are going on. So I enjoyed the show. How about you?
I thoroughly enjoyed this show. It was hard hitting. Out of the 3 weeks we've been covering this, it's been super hard hitting tonight. And it never ceases to impress me when Impact puts on a good show like they did tonight. And like you said, a mixed bag of things where like last week I felt was maybe a little bit more backstagey. And tonight you had backstagey, but everything is a theme. And the theme tonight was violence.
It was a really hard-hitting show. Heavy-handed nonsense. I loved it. Oh, you're back.
Did I DC? I am so sorry. I was like, Joel Hall?
Did you do a Sammy Callahan on me?
I'm at your door, actually. Turn around.
I mean, the color on my lamp is right. Almost matches the hair. But friends, we're going to talk about Impact Wrestling. We're going to talk about all the stuff going on. You can get in on the conversation too. It's good to see you in the live chat. If you're joining us at youtube.com/Fightful, be here for joining us over on Facebook, on our Fightful Facebook group, wherever you're watching us on pods afterwards, whatever it is, welcome. Good to see you. You can donate a super chat. It'll get your question or your statement right on the air. If you're wondering what that super chat is, it's that little dollar sign down the bottom of the chat box here, youtube.com/Fightful. That any amount that you leave, we'll bring it up on the screen. We'll talk about it. Get your question statement right on the air. It supports us here at Fightful. And we got our Humper Chats. Cresta, come on. Do the Humper Chat thing. Tell them.
You can go to humperchat.com. It is connected with Streamlabs. And it's like a super chat, but a humper. That sounded better in my mind. But you can get your chats read on air. And we'll be answering these questions again. That's at humperchats.com.
There you go. Doesn't matter if you put an S at the end of it or not. We got both of them. They'll still go to the same spot, humperchats.com. That'll get your question or statement around the air as well. The difference between the two, honestly, is that humperchats lets us keep a little bit more of the pie compared to what a super chat does. But if you want to see the big bubble up on the screen, well, then that's what you want. And also, if you want all your news and you want all your scoops and you want all the good stuff, subscribe to Fightful Select. It's the best $5 in wrestling or more, depending on what you want to get out of your Fightful Select. If you want the news and you want all the podcasts and you want all the scoops and you want all the Q&A stuff and you want updates on MJF and Roman Reigns and all the stuff, or an Adam Cole injury update, subscribe to Fightful Select. It's well worth it.
Do it.
We're gonna kick things off right now. The Train 24 with the Super Chats, and Cresta has the dopest hair.
Thank you. Be weird, be different.
By the way, speaking of being weird and different, I don't know if you saw BTI. We do this dance every week. But do you know what the match was?
When you start to do BTI, I pretend like I'm Homer Simpson and try to fade into the background.
I get it. Not everyone watches BTI. I understand it. But this week I found out who was on BTI and I said, we have to watch it. Because who was on BTI, Cresta? Swingman's back, baby.
Not this.
Johnny Swinger and Zicky Dice took on Crazy Steve and Black Taurus. Just go watch the match. A very good comedy match. Just go watch it. It's fun. It's BTI. It's a fun show. And then, of course, let's talk about Impact. Let's talk about the show. We opened with the 2008 TNA Impact opening. They're really doing this thing leading up to Slammiversary where they're doing all these classic TNA Impact intros, and I'm really enjoying it. This week's, I had to like scour my brain as to when they did that opening because I don't remember the song, but it was good. I like the opening. Little fun trivia there. 2008 TNA opening video. And let's get right to it. Rosemary takes on Tennille Dashwood. Tennille's got Madison Rayne. Rosemary's got nobody, not a friend in the world, not a nobody. She's lonely. She's all alone. And she's got to spend most of the match just fighting off Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood. Crowd was really into this match, which was really nice to see because sometimes in those openings, it's a little, a little slow. But all in all, a good match, simple, straightforward. The ending comes. Madison Rayne distracts everybody. Rosemary turns and runs Tennille into Madison Rayne and then rolls her up at the bridge and Madison Rayne costs the match for, Tennille Dashwood. Rosemary gets the win via roll-up. Before we get to the post-match, anything to add on that match?
I mean, you gave us the hits. You gave us the playlist. I was saying to myself when this came out, I was like, yo, the only way Tennille Dashwood wins is if she cheats. And then when she did cheat and Rosemary still pinned her, I was like, I love Rosemary. That bridge that she just stayed on top of her to me was added disrespect, which I was here for. But also, I was like, oh, they're going to beat you up now because now you're flexing on her. And you know she don't like that.
There you go. Post-match, they're getting the beatdown. Taya, Valkyrie comes down to save Rosemary. Rosemary did the same for Taya a few weeks back. They do the stare down and the smiles and the crowd is chanting, hug it out. But it's complicated, Cresta.
I know a little bit about their history. So I already know. It's like, listen, Taya, sometimes you are nice to Rosemary. A lot of the time you're a butthead. However, you will also pay Rosemary, who kind of feels bad for you. So I was like, are they going to hug it out? Then is it going to be awkward when Havoc comes back? And can you really trust Taya, Valkyrie? I'm not saying you can't.
I mean, listen, let's not forget that there was a whole Who Shot Johnny Bravo storyline that had these two wrapped up in the center of it and ended up with Taya going to jail.
I do remember that. And that's when I was like, I have to close my laptop because when they were supposed to get married and someone shot, I was like, what? You know what? I've had enough wrestling for today.
The best.
It was top tier, though. It was very sports entertained. Very sports entertained.
Taya and Rosemary did team up in the Knockouts tag tournament. They did lose in the first round, but it will be interesting to see Taya and Rosemary team up again, this time to go up against Tennille Dashwood and Madison Rayne, the influence. I wouldn't mind it, but like you said, what happens to Havoc when she comes back? What would you expect to see? Maybe if Taya and Rosemary get the match, if they're successful, what happens to Havoc? What do you think?
I think it becomes, can you trust Taya Valkyrie? And if Taya Valkyrie makes it where, okay, let's say y'all do get the tag titles. Let's say y'all go for it. And you can even make the argument because Taya stepped in while you were out injured, I could be here and do what we got to do. And then Taya could be like, oh, go away, Havoc. And once she got Rosemary by herself, turn on her. Isn't that the classic story? Now Havoc's jaded. Or does Rosemary say, you know what? I've been around this roller coaster before. I'm going to get you before you get me. But then that comes back to what happens to Havoc when she comes back. Does Havoc then just beat up Taya Valkyrie? How does that happen? It's one of those love-hate relationships like Eddie Edwards and, oh my God, what's his name? Sami Callihan. They hate each other. They're convenient friends, but they'll turn each other in a heartbeat.
I'm wondering, like, can you break up Decay? Is it time to break up Decay over this?
Not over this.
It would feel a little far-fetched, wouldn't it?
I mean, you could break them up, but not over, I agree with you, like, not over this. Not over Taya Valkyrie, girl.
it would be a strange way to break up Decay, but could you imagine the power of Taya Valkyrie? I broke up Decay, who's like one of the longest standing groups in modern Impact history. I'm fine with that. I think
Havoc is going to kill her.
Yes, probably.
Havoc's going to kill her.
That's what it is. Anyway, let's move on. Good Brothers, they're going to make a visit. They're going to make a drive down to Sandy Fork, Delaware. They're grinding. Cresta, they're grinding. They're kicking balls. They're taking bad tire swings, talking about them. they're visiting the Briscoes farm, the chicken farm. My favorite part of this was when they say they make a reference to Uncle Allen in the graveyard or boneyard match or whatever it was. And then the Undertaker WrestleMania reference. It was very well done. For those who didn't get the reference, the Good Brothers, of course, were involved in the AJ Styles and Undertaker match back at WrestleMania 36. The one that was PC WrestleMania 36. So that was fun. I really enjoyed that little reference. And then, of course, you know, they're in the stalls with the chickens, and they say it smells like a Tama Tonga match. Woof.
When they said that, I passed away. I screamed audibly. I was like, oh my God. First of all, that's rude. Second of all, he's going to come and get you. And when he does, I will be looking.
They're talking to one of the Briscoes kids. And by the way, the Briscoes have like between them, like 8,500 kids. So we don't know which one this is in the lineage, but either way, talking to one of their sons, and like in the background, Old McDonald Has a Farm is playing, and they're just like, too sweet me, little bro. It's really cute and really funny. They pick up the kid, they kick his trike, and they start carrying him around. They do a montage. He's chasing chickens. Eventually it was just a very funny segment. And then it turns serious because they run in to Papa Briscoe and who was it? It was not Carl Anderson, but oh my God, I'm having a mind freak right now. Who is it? Doc Gallows. Doc Gallows.
Oh, I was like, wait, you talking about his partner? Gallows. Like, are you talking about someone else?
Sorry, folks, I'm on like 2 hours of sleep. Gallows calls Briscoe, Papa Briscoe, the patriarch of the chicken shit. And then he says, hope you boys pack a lunch, and starts taking off his belt. And then out come the Briscoes. Before we go deeper into this, I don't know if you've ever spent time on a farm, Cresta. Have you done any farm work?
I don't mean this rudely, but it's my trauma and I'm allowed. Unfortunately, I used to live in Texas. So yes. Yes, I have. And it's a thing. And, I thought that segment was hilarious when he was taking off his belt. Like, is Papa Briscoe about to spank these grown men? I would like to see it, because I know how Southern old folks give it up. They don't care if you're 92 or 2, they're still trying to beat you.
some good Ring of Honor lore having Papa Briscoe show up. And then they do the fight with the Briscoes and the Good Brothers, and it's cute. And then all of a sudden, the Good Brothers knock out Jay, and they almost knock out Mark, but Papa Briscoe distracts them, and they reteam. They're going to come back to this a little bit later, but just a fun segment. I really enjoyed it. I thought one of the things that Impact does really well is film those extra segments that go along with the tapings that have already happened. We talked about it last week. It was really, really fun.
I am going to say, when Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson both turned like this, I was like, if Dad Briscoe's got a gun like Art Anderson, like, you keep that thing on you. But it was just a wrench. I was dying. But then this guy pulled out like a machete. I was like, nah, it's time to go. These Briscoes are wildin'.
I was so sure that he was gonna have an old fashioned shotgun.
Me too. I was like, ain't no way you want a farm and you'll pull out a wrench. That's not realistic. I'm out of it. I can't suspend my disbelief anymore.
he pulls out the shotgun, he cocks it, and says, I hope you boys are ready to eat lead for lunch.
Just, Arn Anderson is looking at this segment like,
could have done it better. I could have written this better. Anyway, Jesus Garcia with a super chat. Thank you. Says that farm scene had me rolling. Not quite as good as the one Deanna and Mickey had, though. I did think about that when Deanna went to go visit Mickey James on the farm. This one was a little bit different with the little comedy aspects, but the beatdown with Deanna and Mickey I thought was stronger. This was more of like a comedy-esque segment that devolves into a beatdown.
I will also say that in comparison to the promo that they did last week on the Good Brothers, them doing some clownery made a lot of sense. Because after you got to the top five, it's like, what was your favorite moment? We beat the Briscoes. So it makes sense that you would go to someone's house like, you know what my new number one favorite moment is? When I beat up your dad. So it makes sense. It made sense. Maybe not so much the bloody beatdown, because that'll happen at Slammiversary. Oh, they're getting their butts kicked. That's happening. But this is the top one to get their yucks, terrorize their family. I liked it.
That was a good one. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. If y'all leave a thumbs up here on this video, here, youtube.com/Fightful. Do it. Go ahead. Do it now. Let's talk about Heath in the back. He's got an update on Rhino. He says he needs surgery. Could be out for a month. Months, plural, and then says Honor No More is going to walk through hell and they'll get burned, and that is if they make it to Slammiversary. Heavy words, and we'll find out how that plays out in the main event. But then we got the match that absolutely, listen, Sean would say this, that's fine, I just say it went wild. Cresta, Steve Macklin, PCO, a banger of a match. Before we get to the whole hotness of it, next week, Sean's interview with Steve Macklin drops, so keep it locked to this channel. There you go. There was a super chat right at the top from Ricardo saying, hey, yo, is PCO okay? That looked like a rough injury. So
that was horrifying. I didn't know if he... I'm going to let you talk. I'm sorry. I got a lot of thoughts.
First of all, the French-Canadian Frankenstein is right. Absolutely nuts. I don't even know where to start because I have so many notes. But yeah, they do a whole segment or a whole spot in the match where Macklin does the low elbow on a PCO in the corner in the barricade, and then later puts his elbow and his arm in between the stairs and kicks it, and then they make it look like his collarbone or his shoulder is out of his socket and he's bleeding profusely, and then they have PCO fight off security. They're there to stop the match, and then Macklin has a distracted, you know, ref trying to get the security guards out of there. Macklin gets PCO, hits a DDT on the chair, and Macklin gets the win. So the PCO thing, it looks like he's got like a messed up collarbone, and it just looks like he never got it fixed. And I don't think it's something that, I think it's just something that clicks at that point. It's not such a bad injury, and it's like a party trick. You know what I mean? It just looks like a party trick to me.
Yeah, that's my first thing. It's like, what is he double jointed? Because I don't like getting worked for free. For free, I don't like getting worked for free. Because I'll tell you, I was worked up. I was like, that's a good party trick. But he could be double jointed. I knew someone who could dislocate their shoulder at will and put it back in, and that's what I thought it was. But when it didn't go back, with the blood, it was good, but
just the way that he kept flexing it again, because he knows. There was just, but it looked so gnarly. Like even in the moment, yeah. I was like, holy shit. And I think most people at home were definitely looking at it and seeing, oh my God, it looked really bad. Mm-hmm. But no, either way, such a good match. Cannot put it over enough. If you want some hard hitting ridiculousness, go back, watch this match. Like PCO, he hits a spear through the ropes and goes face first into the floor.
Yeah. And that was literally the tone of the match ever since that part. Well,
it starts the match. And then, so post-match, PCO's moving. He grabs Macklin's arm or his leg, and Macklin jumps out of the ring. And he's like, no, I don't want any of this.
Yeah,
but Macklin
gets the win.
It's all that matters. Macklin gets the win. I'm still a little confused as to what PCO's like position is in Impact Wrestling. Is he a face? Is he a heel? Because he teamed up with Morrissey last week and he was a face, but this week he was playing more of a heel, or I guess he was still more of a face with Macklin, because Macklin is more of a heel. But PCO was also part of the Honor No More match at Slammiversary with Eddie Edwards and OGK and Vincent. Like, what is PCO in this whole Impact Wrestling sphere. It's very strange to me.
I kind of put PCO in the same box that I put Colt Cabana when he was being courted by the Dark Order. I'm not really a bad guy, but I'm here for the vibes. It is vibes. He's a Frankenstein monster. I'm here for the vibes. So do I think he's a full-on heel? Nah, but he's not a face either. He's here for the zombie vibes. I forgot how to speak in that one moment.
You guys like beating up guys? I like beating up guys. All right, I can join you for a little bit, but no,
do this.
This was fine. No, nothing else. True Heel Flex Cabana. That's a phenomenal name. The song Brain Damage by Eminem was a true story written about a kid who grew up to be PCO. Absolutely. No questions asked.
He's wild.
Absolutely wild. Oh, man. And Ricardo Lamarck saying Macklin and VBD are two of my faves in wrestling. Absolutely agreed. Macklin, we've talked about so many times, Cresta, has just been a standout for Impact Wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. Macklin is someone I can see, I think we spoke about this last week, definitely going against Josh Alexander. Am I having a stroke tonight? What is happening?
You too, hey?
Yeah, well, what's happening? Mercury's in retrograde or something, I don't know. he's someone you could absolutely see going against Josh Alexander. And it's like, this is a good match, and I don't know how this is going to go, whether they get interrupted or not. He's phenomenal. Again, you would forget that he was in Forgotten Sons. You would forget that he was anywhere else but here. He's so good. Yep, so good.
It's wild. And VBD, of course, we're going to talk about in a few minutes when we talk about that Joe Doering and Josh Alexander match. Holy, we'll get there in a sec. Deonna Purrazzo's in the back. She's approached by Tasha Steelz. And Tasha's just like, hey, why didn't you get involved last week in Savannah Evans' match against Mia Yim? And Deonna's just like, well, I didn't need to because I want the Knockouts title, not to end Mia Yim. And then Tasha's like, you'll rue the day. And then they walk off. And then Chelsea Green walks in and she's like, doesn't hurt to have a little help. And I'm like, wait a minute, we just did this with Morrissey and Bhupinder Gujar. What is this?
Just a second.
I've heard this line before.
I don't know where, but I feel like. I mean, honestly, I think Deonna Purrazzo is amazing. And I like Chelsea Green so much in Impact. She's just literally hot mess. What's that her name for? Hot Mess Jess or something like that? Or am I thinking of someone else?
She's the hot mess.
I love her. I love her. Those two together, I could see Deonna getting annoyed. And she's like, come on, just do it. She's like, all right, whatever. Until I get hot, back.
Hot mess Laurel Van Ness. That's what she was back in her Impact days. Before she just became Chelsea Green. Yeah. Had to remember myself too. really the lowest point to me in this entire show comes up next. Matt Morgan's here for some reason. He talks about his time in TNA Wrestling where he was the blueprint. Puts himself over, and then he's interrupted by Vincent from Honor No More, who touts that Honor No More is going to win at Slammiversary. And then, thank God, Tom Hannifin says that Matt Morgan's inactive and therefore ineligible to join Team Impact.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, is this old man about to come back? Not saying he's old. He looked great. He didn't look like an old man, but the way they made it sound like he was wrestling a long time ago. I think, to your point earlier, dude, know what? I lost my train of thought. I don't know what's happening tonight.
The Matt Morgan thing. The only reason it makes sense is because the set of tapings where they had him show up, they were in Orlando. So, okay. And he is a mayor of one of the cities in Florida around Orlando. Or they said the city, but honestly, I don't care because I don't care much for Matt Morgan. So there you go. Let's talk about the real match. The match that really put it on the map tonight. Josh Alexander, Joe Doering, Ricardo Lamarck with the Humper chat that says Josh versus Doering had me wringing my hands and cackling like a supervillain. This is what I pay for. It was a really, really good match, Cresta.
Absolutely.
Tell me about it.
So, first of all, I was thinking to myself, okay, Josh Alexander maybe gets the win over Joe Doering. He's on momentum. When he comes up to Slammiversary, it's curtains for you. But that's a little too obvious. And there's this one thing about Impact, expect the unexpected. So I like the finish. That whole match, I'm not the kind of person to tell you go out and watch a match, but that match literally was Josh Alexander saying, I'm tired of your crap, all of you. And I know whether it's this week, next week, or Slammiversary, I'm going to have to take you out. So that match to me was smart booking because you protect Alexander because Alexander was going to win. When he picked up Joe Doering, who is a large man, like a large man picking up a larger man. I was like, holy hell. And that ending was smart. I don't, DQ finishes sometimes can seem lame or overdone, but this was perfect because everyone, he still has his win streak. So he can use that for something else, or we can use as a plot twist later on. And Alexander didn't eat a pin. And nobody really ate a pin. So Violent by Design still looks strong, still has momentum going into Slammiversary. What did you think of it, Joel?
Well, you and I sat here last week and we talked about this match and saying, and I told you, I couldn't remember how this match finished. And to me, it made sense to have Josh win, even though it wasn't the best outcome for Joe Doering, who was undefeated. This is the best way to have him remain undefeated. Technically, Joe Doering gets the win via disqualification because Eric Young and Cody Deaner try to get involved. Young gives the flag, the Violent by Design flag, to Joe Doering. Josh intercepts it. He uses it on Doering and the referee sees it. So Josh Alexander gets DQ'd. I really liked it because it still kept Doering looking strong and looking like that monster who's on a winning streak. He's still winning. And then Alexander just, you know, he got the best of himself by trying to get involved with the flag. Like, he thought that he could get one over, and that was that. But the rest of the match, like you said, it was two big dudes, one dude bigger than the other, taking down the big dude. And it was really fun. Like, there was a spot in there where Doering does a belly-to-back suplex, and Alexander just flips around and counters back into a headlock. Stuff like that just works in a big man, little man, I use that term very loosely, Alexander type of match, because Doering's just massive. And it was just a slow match. There was a lot of hard hitting, a lot of solid striking. At one point, there's a right hook from Joe Doering that like knocks Josh Alexander on his ass. And I loved it. It was just a really good, solid match.
Josh Alexander is very fluid in the ring as well. Even in the post-match, when they tried to jump him, after he took care of Cody Deaner, he whipped right around and saw Eric Young, like, what are you doing? And he was taking off his thing, like, come on then, if you about to come. And he's like, I'm going to make you wait. Mind games, baby. I don't know if that was mind games or fear, but it looked like mind games. I don't know if that was mind games or fear, because he literally took out your two henchmen.
I loved it. It looked, Eric Young had the deer in the headlights look, but it was the crazy deer in the headlights. It looked perfect. And he slithers out of the ring and he just regroups, and Alexander's standing in the ring and he's number one, but there's Violent by Design right there. It's a really good storytelling motif that they've been building for the main event. Because again, we've talked about this, Eric Young versus Josh Alexander for the Impact World title makes a lot of sense to Impact fans who have followed Impact. For someone who's looking for that, you know, the big, like the Kenny Omega comes into Impact, for those who are looking for that kind of match, that's not what this is. And they've done a really good job of telling the story of why you should care about Josh Alexander and Eric Young having a main title match, a world title match, on a major pay-per-view for Impact Wrestling.
You also have a lot of sympathy for Eric Young, especially after the video package last week, where he was like, I've done everything you've ever asked me. Anything Impact has asked me to do, I've done. I even went to greener pastures, got screwed over there, came here, and still did what you asked me to do. So why am I not champion? Why am I not that guy? So now everyone's getting it. I'm not going to do it like Otter no more and be casual jerks. I'm going to be a full-on jerk. And I respect it. I respect it, but he also, in my opinion, has the most to lose, because you can't keep challenging Josh Alexander and trying to lead a group and say it's my way or the highway, and you can't get the job done. So in this situation, he's got the most to lose. Like, yeah, Josh Alexander is going to be pissed if he loses, but I don't want to sound like a jerk, but you already lost to Moose and got it back. So you still hungry for it, and I think you could go over, but Young got the most to lose here.
Next week, we will run down the Slammiversary card. We will absolutely give our picks while we're doing the post-Impact show. And there's a lot of really good matches next week. But yeah, stay tuned for that and leave us a thumbs up while you're hanging out here on youtube.com/Fightful. Backstage, Moose is with Gia Miller. Let's just get to both of these and then we can talk about the Ultimate X stuff. Moose is like, hey, I'm not worried about Sammy. He's playing his own mind games. And then Moose just like drones on for a few minutes. And I'm just like, I can't. I'm not paying attention. And the lights go on and off, and then Moose is like, I'm gonna find Sammy, I'm gonna put an end to this. And then they cut away for a bit, and they do the Ultimate X thing, but we'll come back. Moose is now, you know, going and looking for Sammy. Lights go on, lights go off, Sammy's there. The Moose and Sammy fight backstage. They go into a side room that has a couple of doors, And then Moose beats down Sammy, bloodies him, tries to exit the door that's in front of him, but it's locked, goes to the door that he came in, but it's locked. And then Sammy has the key and he gouges out Moose's eye. Now, the first thing I'm thinking, Cresta, is why aren't you taking the garage door that's literally right there and available and unlocked?
It's mechanical, baby. I don't know.
You saw that stupid garage door. You saw it.
Listen, there were a lot of things in this segment. I was like, okay, if your eye is gouged out, you went from to this real quick. It wasn't that gouged out. And you couldn't put your foot in the door. I don't know. Listen, all that time Sammy Callahan laid on the floor, like, I got the, snatched it from him. Like, come on, Impact Gus Saw. Come on.
So yeah, Sammy leaves, he locks Moose in, and Moose now has to take the garage door if he can figure out that it exists. So there's that. But announced post-show, after Impact went off the air, Impact Socials did announce that Moose and Sammy Callahan will happen at Slammiversary, and it's now a Monsters Ball match. Very excited for this. I'm a little concerned that Slammiversary is just going to be one big, like, gimmick match fest. I don't hate it because it's Impact, and again, we're throwing everything at the wall. But like, there's three gimmick matches right now. With if they had a steel cage match, then here we are. Like, we're in heaven.
It's professional wrestling. I just worry that Slammiversary is going to be really, really long. That's my only concern.
I don't think so. I think they're going to have probably about 8 matches, and they'll do a 3-hour pay-per-view. And they're usually pretty good about that, in my opinion, with the timing.
Well, then sign me up. No more 4 hours. If your pay-per-view is 4 hours, I'm throwing myself in a well.
We will have coverage of the show. We will have scoops for you about Slammiversary, and we will have a post show. It's going to be Steven Jensen and Denise Salcedo. They're going to be the ones doing the post Slammiversary show. And Nora's saying you guys are getting confused with AEW. Yes, it won't be a 5.5-hour show. Slammiversary will not be that. But either way, we will be covering it over at Fightful.com and here on YouTube.com/Fightful. Denise and Steven Jensen, they'll be doing the post show there. So check that out when they go live after Slammiversary. Let's talk about Bullet Club. Let's talk about Ace Austin joining the Bullet Club during the New Japan Best of the Super Juniors tournament. And apparently this all leads to Alex Zane getting a spot, the final spot in Ultimate X. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I got to ask, first of all, if you know where to get a custom Ace Austin Bullet Club card, I'd like to get one. Please give it to me. We'll start there.
I said on Twitter, when I saw that he won the Super Juniors, I'm like, oh. And then he joined the Bullet Club. I said, if you thought Ace Austin promos were annoying before.
So Ace didn't win the Best of the Super Juniors tournament.
Oh,
so
you're right.
Yeah. Hiromu won. So Ace didn't win, but Ace did have that moment of joining Bullet Club. Joining Bullet Club alone and being a part of New Japan in that world, yeah, that'll make you obnoxious as hell.
Oh, yeah. And then they showed, I think, the post-match they had, right, when he joined Bullet Club, and these guys were healing it up. I was like, oh, when they come back for Impact tapings, be prepared to get your Jimmy's Russell, because he's about to do the most with the absolute least. And I'm here for it. At first, I was like, man, it's awesome. Now I'm kind of like, I want to see you heal it up.
You're here for the troll, Ace Austin. By the way, in that beatdown that you're talking about, my favorite thing is ELP taking off Alex Zane's socks and throwing them across the room.
He lost his shoe.
Took his shoes off, took his socks off. So Alex Zane's been inserted into Ultimate X. We now know the full field. It's Alex Zane, Kenny King, Jack Evans, Ace Austin, Mike Bailey, Trey Miguel. They are going to be in Ultimate X. That's going to be a great matchup. I'm really excited for Ultimate X at Slammiversary.
It's going to be 10 out of 10. And sorry. Ultimate X does have a tendency to be your high flyer, with not to say there's a lot of rest holds, but there's not a lot. If you like high flying matches and you want to get into it minute after minute and you're like, oh, that is the match for you. And I'm excited because it's going to be my first one seeing it live, not a rerun. I'm so excited. So excited. So
it's going to be a real good time. I have a feeling that'll open up the show. If I had to guess, because usually they do the hot they do a hot opener for a pay-per-view, mm-hmm. but it's usually something X Division related. So I could see this being the opening match.
That'd be a good opening match, and maybe it'll set the tone for the rest of the pay-per-view. But that'll put butts in seats.
Definitely puts my butts in the seat, that's for sure. All right, let's go back to it. Matt Cardona claims that the real digital champion is him and not Rich Swann because he still has the stupid title belt. He says Cardona says he needs somebody to carry the lineage of the digital media championship. He gives the belt to Brian Myers. Brian Myers says Rich Swann doesn't even have a Twitter account. And then he challenges Rich Swann to a match at Slammiversary. There you go.
That was funny. He said, you don't even have a Twitter account. How are you the digital media champion? I was like, you're petty.
But he's not wrong.
You can't be. That's like saying I'm going to win a cooking show knowing good or well I didn't cook. I put everything in the oven or the microwave. Like, I mean, yeah, you got to get in where you fit in. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So once upon a time, when they announced this title and they had Jordynne Grace competing for it, all I really wanted to happen was for Jordynne Grace to win the title and to only defend it on her OnlyFans and make it like her OnlyFans exclusive matches are for the digital media championship. Can't get them anywhere else. You have to subscribe to her platform in honor of getting to see the digital media championship defended.
That's how you make the system work for you. That's smart. That is smart. Because some people are like, well, OnlyFans is only for one type of thing. Mm-mm. You got to play smarter, not harder. Smarter, not harder, baby.
There are people on OnlyFans who will do cooking, like just like food prep stuff. It's whatever you want it to be. It is what it is. So
exactly.
Either way, we have Matt. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember. Brian <It's> Myers. <okay. laughs> Why is Brian Myers in this match? He is his avatar. It's in the chat. Myers is Cardona's avatar, and he's going to take on Rich Swann. By the way, Rich Swann is the digital media champion, not the guy who will carry the belt into Slammiversary. There you go.
They made sure to remind everyone, like, just to let you know, which one is the actual champion.
Just like I'm going to remind all of you guys and girls and friends beyond the binary that you can donate a super chat here as we start moving down the home stretch and talking about a main event that was so much fun. It was a 6-man tag match, OGK, Taven and Bennett with Eddie Edwards taking on Motor City Machine Guns and Frankie Kazarian. I'm enjoying that Kaz is like still working Impact Wrestling tapings while doing AEW stuff. Like it works for me. And this match was a lot of fun. It was a really well-worked 6-man tag. What did you think? Did you have any thoughts coming into it? Are you more excited for Honor No More now? Or what was your thought about the match itself? And then we can talk about all the post shenanigans.
So I know what you just said, but I'm going to start with the post shenanigans beforehand. Just Damn. For one thing. Sorry. I'm a bad kid. I don't listen.
I know.
So Heath saying what he said to me is like, oh, if they make it to Honor No More, it's like, oh, so he's going to interfere in the main event. And then when he didn't, I was like, okay, maybe he's going to be part of the six-man tag that they're going to do. And then he wasn't. I was like, so I'm a fan of Motor City Machine Guns. I have so much respect for Chris Sabin. He literally is wrestling uncle, bro. And I love how he is so fluid in the ring. And Alex Shelley talks a lot during matches, which not a lot of people do, but I do find it very enjoying. Like when I forgot who was like, I got you. And you heard Alex say, he said, no, you don't. And then kicked him. I was like, it's video game like almost, where it's like, look over here, you missed me. It was pretty freaking cool. The whole match itself, there was never a dull moment. My match of the night was a PCO match, so I was already like, coming down here. But this was just solid good wrestling. And honestly, it's a wild thing to see Eddie Edwards get booed, because he's literally the heart and soul of Impact, you would think sometimes. But it's a wild thing. People just straight up booing. I'm like, damn, Eddie Edwards. I remember you trying to kill Killer Cross backstage or trying to beat up or have relations with your wife. Like, now look at you.
There was a time when Eddie Edwards, like you said, was the heart and soul of Impact, but people were sick of Eddie Edwards being the heart and soul of Impact Wrestling.
I could see it
was
that.
It was just getting to that point. And I sat here week after week, not on a post show for Impact because we didn't have one at the time, but just talking with other people on Fightful about how Eddie Edwards is getting stale and how I couldn't really deal with the Eddie Edwards character anymore. And then when he joined Honor No More, I was just jazzed for him. And also just happy to see that they got out of the same character over and over and over again that they had him playing. Now he's the turncoat. Now he's the guy that's been, he thinks has been wronged by the company, and the fans are playing along and they hate him. And I love that. People are actively against Eddie Edwards, the character. And I really enjoy that part.
I will also say this, and this is just me fantasy booking, so pull up into Speculation Station. Eddie Edwards, in my opinion, would be a perfect candidate for Violent by Design if Eric Young wanted to steal him. Because much like Eric Young, Eddie Edwards, you've done everything Impact has asked of you. Good, bad, in between. You got beat up and terrorized by Sami Callihan for weeks. Almost months at one point. So if he was like, I could see something in you, and I know Eddie Edwards, you give it up in hardcore matches too. He's a good wrestler by his own merit. I could see it. That's just me. And if you disagree, well...
It's not that I disagree. It's that I think Eddie Edwards joining Violent by Design, he would have to replace Cody Deaner, because Deaner and him are very similar in the ways that they work. They're both hard workers. They're both good, structurally sound wrestlers that it would kind of get lost unless they're, even if they're a tag team, it doesn't really work, because Joe Doering is there to be the big guy who, like, you know, towers over everybody.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
I'm not saying there isn't strength in numbers, but I'm wondering how Edwards and Deaner kind of play with or off each other. Does it work or not? So unless he got rid of Deaner, then I could see Edwards joining, and then he would have to, like, shave his head and stuff, right?
Four man faction. You can have it.
Well, they had Rhino for a while, and when they had Rhino, it was wild because Rhino is just this, like, chunk of a dude, and he looks different, so it worked for them.
That's fair too. I see what you mean. I see what you mean. VBD, I still would like it, but we'll see.
Yeah, VBD is like a faction based on different styles. Most factions should be based on different styles and different attributes that make everybody strong together. So yeah. I just wonder where Eddie fits in. I don't dislike the idea. I'm just wondering, where does Eddie Edwards fit in, or does he replace somebody like Deaner in this case?
Fair enough.
Where I'm at. Jesus Garcia with the super chat. Motor City Machine Guns are so good together. One of those teams where if they're involved, you know you're getting a good match. And that is absolutely on the nose, especially tonight, and especially working with Frankie Kazarian. They do a triple team leg drop that I really enjoyed. You had both men from Motor City Machine Guns hitting those leg drops, and then Kazarian hits one himself, but he does a springboard leg drop. Is really good stuff. Little things like that really made this match fun. And Taven with a high dive over the top rope almost took himself out of the match. It was kind of wild.
I like Matt Taven. I something about his style of wrestling. I've heard nothing but not good things sometimes, but it's like his style is very, it's not just one thing. I don't know how to describe it. He's very well-rounded, whether he's high-flying, in the ring. I really like his in work. Honor No More, I mean, I'm looking. Like I really got my eyes on. He's really good to me. Good to me.
He's the trend. He is the trend. There you go. So they did this really fun, like, hot tag spot with Alex Shelley that you probably saw, where Shelley is being held back and he's trying to get the hot tag to either Chris Sabin or to Frankie Kazarian, but it's taken way, way too long. And then Honor No More prevent it. The first time they do it, it's super hokey, but ultimately it's effective. And then they continue on beating down Shelley, and then they do it again. And this time it's faster, and Matt Taven wipes out Sabin and Kazarian on the apron. I like that. That was good heat. But the first time it was just super hokey and they just sat on it for way too long. Otherwise, you know, good stuff. Really enjoyed it. A traditional six-man tag match. I don't really have much to add here. Eddie Edwards hits a Tiger Driver. Taven hits the tip knee. Sabin kicks out. Stuff like that was really good. And then eventually we finish off. Sabin hits the clothesline from Hell Michigan. Super kick to Eddie Edwards. And then a low blow from Mike Bennett to Chris Sabin. Eddie Edwards pins Sabin after the Die Hard Driver, which I originally heard as the Try Hard Driver.
That's funny. They should call it that.
It's now the Try Hard Driver. For anyone who's wondering, Eddie Edwards pins Sabin with the now aptly named Try Hard Driver. Post-match. Oh boy, here we go. Honor No More beats down Motor City Machine Guns and Kazarian. Out comes Heath. He's got a chair, and then he gets beat down, but he fights back because he's a valiant, valiant striker. And he throws the chair at Eddie Edwards, hits the wake-up call. It looks really good. And then Heath goes to take out Eddie Edwards, wrapping the chair around his leg, but then he gets stopped by the rest of Honor No More. And then there's the numbers advantage goes to Honor No More, and then they take out Heath with the chairs. What did you think of the post-match beatdown, the Heath kerfuffle, everything? Tell me.
Heath, you're late. The time to do that was the match, or when you saw that it was getting hokey towards the end, you are late. That's number one. Number two, coming down by yourself, I understand the chair is the great equalizer, but there's literally like 50 guys of Honor No More. Right when you started to get them, here comes Kenny King. Here comes this person. Hey, you got to come down with more than one person. And then furthermore, I thought, again, at that time, I was still under the impression you are going to be in that tag match at Slammiversary. And here you are getting your calf, knee, ankle, foot area destroyed by this chair. So I liked it. Objectively speak, I was like, okay, it makes sense. Honor No More, a bunch of cheaters. Here comes Heath trying to help. Oh, now you beat up. Now it puts the question in my mind. Well, I thought he was going to be part of it. Well, now who's going to be a part of it? And I like that. I don't mind being confused when it comes to professional wrestling because it gives me something to look forward to. So,
hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I love that. I love that. Objectively, I loved it. I again, annoyingly, Keith, you late. You're late, bro. You should have came down already. So you getting beat up is par for the course. What was you going to do 5-on-1 with a chair? And then you lost your chair.
He was full of piss and vinegar. He could take on the world. That's what he wanted to do.
Should have called Arn Anderson.
That's true. It always does that. We're being asked in the chat who are going to be the final two members of Team Impact. Well, we know it's not going to be Heath and Rhino, and we know it's not going to be Matt Morgan. Thank God. But we talked about it last week. I stand by this, and I say it again. Sorry about your damn luck. I think it's America's Most Wanted. Chris Harris was on screen last week, and James Storm lives in Nashville, Tennessee, or just outside, so it's an easy shot for him. He would get a huge, huge pop. That's where I'm thinking we're going to see it. Does anyone pop out to you? Maybe it's Jeff Jarrett. Maybe Bully Ray is going to make his return.
I'll always put my money on Jeff Jarrett, but I think Jeff Jarrett is a little too old to be in the ring. When they kept showing vignettes of Samoa Joe, I'm like, maybe. I don't know how realistic that is, because Spock D'Amore did say, I want people who are past or a current Impact. So I feel like that would leave out Joe, but Kazarian is also AEW. So again, this leaves me confused and I'm excited. I want to see who it might be. You know, Josh Alexander. No, I'm kidding. He's gonna be that.
Yeah, he's just gonna work every match.
Reunite the North for the lols. Like, get Ethan Page to come in here. Why not?
Listen, between you and me, Ethan Page right now in AEW is being misused. That's my opinion. Agree or disagree? It's fine.
He was used better in the North, even when he did the Karate Man gimmick.
I agree with you. I want to see more from Ethan Page in AEW. Josh Alexander has absolutely tore it up. He was the guy that they didn't know how things would fare when Ethan left, because he wasn't the talker. He wasn't the charismatic guy in the North. It just shows that sometimes your best wrestler is the guy that you put your eggs in the basket for. But I would love to see Ethan Page come back. I don't expect it.
Me either.
If he did a one-off, that'd be great. Just come in and do a thing with Josh. Do a one-off, against all odds championship match with Josh Alexander. That'd be great.
That'll but be I cute. See it. Yeah, same. Same. I think he's too involved in this Scorpio Sky, which I agree. In this capacity, I do think that there is a better use for him in AEW or even in Impact if he wants to do some dates over there. There's a better use for him than anything with Dan Lambert is a boot. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's a boot. It's a boot, man. It's a boot. It's a boot.
if I'm Motor City Machine Guns and I'm Kazarian, I wouldn't even be asking America's Most Wanted for help. You know who I'm asking?
Christopher Daniels.
He's a good shout. Mm-hmm. But I would be asking Sting, and I would be asking Rob Van Dam or Rob the Van Broken Damme, Hardys.
Okay, yeah, not Sting. Not Sting. Come on.
Why not Sting? Why not one of the biggest stars ever?
I love Sting, but Sting and Jeff Hardy are in my camp of please stop doing that. You are far too old. Please, please. Those two especially is like, please, please, please. Just Grandpa Sting, please.
CD, by the way, Christopher Daniels and Ultimate X would have been wild. I'm really happy with this Ultimate X lineup. I think Jack Evans is going to be absolutely nuts, and I'm looking forward to that. Alex Zane's, you know, insertion, the announcement this week, left a little bit to be desired, but at least they're telling the story that something happened in Japan that got us there. And Alex Zane is a fantastic wrestler. Like, the Sauce God is absolutely on it. And that's what he is, man. He's the only wrestler sponsored by Taco Bell, man. The dude's got it. Come on.
That's 10 out of 10. That is 10 out of 10.
The guy's got it. But either way, I'm just excited for Ultimate X. I'm excited for a lot of Slammiversary coming up.
Yeah.
There's not much left on this show, on this Impact show. It was a very efficient 2 hours, as they often are. They had a flashback moment with Booker T, Christian Cage, and I forget who the last person was in the match. Because was it Samoa
Rick
Joe?
Rick Rude. Bob. It was a Rude. It was Joe.
Bobby Rude. It was Bobby Rude.
Yeah, okay, I was like, was it Rick Rude? No, that guy's old as hell.
He's gone.
It was Bobby Rude, Samoa Joe. I feel like I'm still missing someone.
Christian Booker T.
And I think there was one more. Kevin Nash.
It was Kevin Nash.
Yes.
Sorry, folks. I glazed over at that point, because this is one thing where we don't talk about it. But I just thought about it now that they kind of ate up some time with that segment. Next week is going to be the final episode of Impact Wrestling going into Slammiversary. A lot of really good matches, including Trey Miguel versus Mike Bailey. That match alone is going to be absolutely wild. We'll tune into that. We'll tune into a whole bunch of other stuff. We're going to talk about it as we always do. That's all I got for this show. Do you want to add anything about Impact Wrestling tonight, Cresta?
Tonight was a good show. You said everything. I think we've covered everything. I will say, to your point, that Impact is very efficient. Unlike other promotions that I watch, Impact is like, okay, tonight's theme, like last night, not last night, last week's theme was delusion and rudeness. This week's theme was violence, because every match, every segment had a point. It was hard hitting, straight to the point. I'm excited it's still doing a good job of setting up Slammiversary, setting up tidbits for newer viewers like me who just get, well, not just getting into Impact or who dabbled. Seeing the older matches when the ring was an octagon is wild. So you want to be like, I want to go back. Like, I knew, but it's like, I would want someone else to go back and get into it. And I think it furthered the storylines in a way that weren't harmful to anyone. Not even with the exception of Heath, because again, it's like, you came down late. You should have came with other people. And I thought you would have saved that for the thing, but you never know. It's wrestling. He might show up as one of the people for the Slammiversary tag match. You never know. It's wrestling.
I don't know. That leg looks pretty nuts, pretty gnarly. It's almost as bad as the collarbone on PCO's shoulder.
Yeah, please.
All in all, a good episode. I enjoyed myself. Hopefully you guys did in the chat. Krista, where can the people find you on the internet?
You guys can find me on Twitter, like you see right below, at Cresta the Star. In my bio, there's a link tree, and anywhere where you can find Cresta Star, CrestaStarr, is me. I love wrestling, and I love you. Where can they find you, Joel?
I am at Joel Pearl, and I also am going to tell you about FIFA Select. For $5, you get all the scoops. You're getting everything, all the important news that you need. You're getting all of the wonderful content that we push out of FIFA because we have Coexisting After Dark with Rob and Maggie and a guest. We have Sour Graps. If you're a little sick or tired or needing to vent about Raw or SmackDown, Alex Palowski's got you covered, sometimes with Kate Elizabeth as well. If, I don't know, maybe you just want to get your questions answered, Sean Ross Sapp does a Q&A every single week, or maybe you just want a condensed weekly report of what's going on backstage in the world of wrestling. Again, Sean's got you covered. Little things every single day drop in. You want interview notes, they're there. You want scoops, they're there. There's all of the best stuff over at FIFA Select, the best news that's fit to muck, as they say. And also, I'll plug Fightful Overbooked. That's the other channel that we run. That's the ESPN2 of the platform. That's where I spend a lot of my time. And we have a lot of great creators there with different views on professional wrestling. Go check it out. YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Or just search it and subscribe. Just get in there. Go do it right now. That's the shilling I got. I'm at Joel Pearl. Again, Joel Pearl. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, it is absolutely ESPN The Ocho. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.